call to order the Education Subcommittee of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. This is Tuesday, June 17th, 2003, and we are here for a public hearing and work session on House Bill 5064. I'll open the public hearing on House Bill 5064. Ms. McGlashan, can you give us LFO's view of the world here?
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, House Bill 5064 is actually what we call a blank appropriation bill, and we're using it to do a number of things today. Yeah. As amended, one of the things that the bill would do would to provide supplemental limitation to the Department of Education for its 2001-03 budget for special schools, youth corrections, education program, and the grant and aid nutrition program. And I can talk about that in a little bit, why those supplemental limitation amounts are necessary. The bill, as amended, also would make adjustments to three agency budgets that are affected by a 2001-03 shortfall in Medicaid upper payment limit resources. And the agencies affected include the Department of Education for the State School Fund, the Oregon Health and Science University, and the Department of Administrative Services for the Oregon Rural Health Association. And finally, the bill, as amended, would provide a supplemental 2001-03 general fund, general fund appropriation to the Department of Human Services to cover deferral of a $45.6 million MUPL payment by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Madam Chair, did you want me to continue, or did you want to open a work session? How would you like?
Let us at this point see if there are any people in the audience that wish to testify on the bill. Then what I'll do is close the public hearing on House Bill 5064 and open a work session on House Bill 5064. Ms. McGlashan, can you take us to another level of detail?
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, what I'll discuss now is the need for the recommended amendments, which start on page 2 of the memo that I've distributed to you. And you also have some other handouts in front of you, the letters from the Department of Education requesting the supplemental limitation, and also an analysis by the Department of Administrative Services Budget and Management Division staff on those requests from the Department of Education. So there's one letter for the Special Schools and Youth Corrections Education Program limitation issue and an analysis for that, and then another letter for the Nutrition Program, a supplemental limitation and an analysis for that. First of all, for the Special Schools Other Funds limitation increase, the department is requesting a $500,000 other funds expenditure limitation increase to offset a portion of the general fund reductions that have been taken in this biennium in the special schools budget. And these reductions totaled about $1.7 million general fund. And part of the agency's reduction plan was to offset about $600,000 of these reductions from other and federal revenues to mitigate the general fund reductions and try to maintain the school programs to the extent possible. And in November 2002, the Emergency Board approved an additional $500,000 in federal funds expenditure limitation for part of the offset, and now the agency is seeking an increase in its other funds expenditure limitation to use revenues such as rental receipts, summer school receipts, and student transportation fees to offset yet again another portion of the general fund reductions. And based on review of their expenditures to date and those projected for the remainder of the biennium, it looks like what they need is actually an increase of about $245,000 other funds limitation rather than the $500,000 that they originally requested. If you wanted to turn to page 2 of the memo, then, under recommended bill amendments, and I would just point out that these are conceptual amendments, because obviously they're not in their correct form from LC, and there might be some changes that LC would have to make to these recommended amendments. That first one there is the one that would increase the limitation for the special schools, and you can see at the end of that paragraph it mentions the $245,000 increase in the other funds expenditure limitation. So that pertains to item 1 under the need for recommended amendments.
Let's take a little breather there and ask the committee if there are questions or comments And we also have Mr. Rocco here, if there are questions or comments from him, and Ms. Ames from BAM, if there are questions and comments. And the department is also.
Madam Chair.
Senator Gordley.
Just a process question. Apparently we're being asked to review and approve conceptual amendments, which is a step away from process that we have earlier agreed to as Ways and Means members. And so I'm assuming that these conceptual amendments have the approval of the co-chairs and
Ms. McClatchy.
Madam Chair and Senator Gordley, that's correct. And one of the reasons why we're doing it this way is this is on a fast track, as I understand it. There will be a full Ways and Means Committee meeting at 4 p.m. today to move this bill along. And by that time, we will have the actual amendments from LC.
Thank you. I appreciate just getting that point on the record. Thank you.
Further questions or comments, Representative Bates?
Yeah, Madam Chair, just again going to procedure. This is sort of a hodgepodge of almost like three different things mm-hmm. as I read it. One is a rebel, which is pretty straightforward. The other one's the 500,000 excess funds, which really are general funds. It's listed as other funds, but it comes in the general school fund, right? That was not used for the corrections. Kids. Am I reading that correctly?
Oh, I'm sorry, Madam Chair and Representative Bates, are you referring to number two?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if my arms around the whole thing first and we go through it so I have an idea where we're going. The state school fund dollars that was in there, other, and then youth corrections is other funds. So we'll discuss that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third piece is the deferred MUPL money, which is the $46 million. So I'm assuming we're going to kind of walk through each one of those, and it's all in one big bill.
Correct.
Okay.
And what I would like to do, committee members, is have the committee vote on conceptually adopting each of the sections as we go through, just to keep things kind of on track. Are there any more questions or comments on the other funds limitation increase for special schools? Chair would accept a motion to adopt conceptual amendments for special schools as outlined on page 2 of the House Bill 5064 memo dated June 17, 2003.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Representative Smith has made the motion. Is there a discussion on the motion?
Chair, so I could ask a question. The money we're putting back in is that to maintain the school programs to the extent possible. What exactly do you mean by that?
Madam Chair and Representative Bates, again, the special schools took reductions in of about $1.7 million general fund in the last year.
And so we're putting this back in then?
Madam Chair and Representative Bates, it gives them limitations to spend other funds that they have, so they do have those revenues, and to pay for things that they would otherwise have paid for with general funds had they not been cut.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Further comments or questions on discussion on the motion?
Madam Chair.
Senator Gordon.
Again, I think Representative Bates is keying in on the same language that strikes me. It's that phrase, to the extent possible. I'm still not clear on what that means.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Jane Mulholland, and I'm the Director of Special Schools. And what that phrase means to me is that within the decisions that we've made already to accommodate the reductions, this would allow us to continue.
We are having an alarm go off. Education Subcommittee, and we were in the middle of discussing the other funds limitation increase for the special schools. Please continue.
And for the record, I'm Jane Mulholland, and I'm the Director of Special Schools. And what this will allow us to do is to continue to finish out the rest of this biennium operating within the context of the decisions that we've made throughout this biennium to take into consideration the reductions we've had. So as Ms. McGlashan mentioned, we've had about $1.7 million in reductions, and we've made decisions throughout the year on how to accommodate that. Now we're down to the end, but we need this additional limitation to just continue operating the rest of this biennium.
The nature of the rental receipts and the summer school receipts and the student transportation fees, are these in some kind of reserve account that you would, under better circumstances, just carry forward to the next biennium?
Chair Morgan, that's correct.
Any further questions? We have a motion to accept the conceptual amendments or adopt the conceptual amendments as for special schools as recommended in the House Bill 5064 memo on June 17th. Is there any additional discussion on the memo on the motion?
So moved.
Is there objection to the motion? Representative Smith, do you have your pen in the air because you want to ask a question?
No, I don't. I'm getting ready to make a check mark so I can go on to the next thing.
Is there any objection to the motion?
I have a hot-eyed chair. You know, any move you make.
Hearing no objection, the motion is carried.
I'm going to have a sip of coffee now. This means I'm going to have a sip of coffee.
Thank you. Very good. Let's continue on to the Youth Corrections Education Program, Juvenile Detention Education Program. Ms. McGlashan.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee. The second item has to do with, as you said, the Youth Corrections Education Program and Juvenile Detention Education Program. And these programs receive state school fund dollars, and they're shown as other funds in the department's budget. And I think Representative Gates alluded to that earlier. And the populations in both those programs are lower than originally expected. And, of course, you know, the state school fund amount per student is lower than what was originally budgeted due to 2002 special session actions. So this decrease in their other funds limitation simply reflects that they won't be getting as much funding, and therefore they won't need as much other funds limitation to spend it. And that conceptual amendment is on page 2 also. And, again, the typical language for this kind of supplemental limitation, and you can see at the end of that paragraph it shows where it would be decreased by $500,000 other funds.
Would the department like to come forward and comment on this also? And committee members, please feel free to ask questions. Good morning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the subcommittee, for the record, I'm Dave Fazier, Director of Management Services at the Department of Education. The request that you have before you is really a combined request of utilizing existing other fund resources. We're decreasing youth corrections, other fund limitation, and then using a portion of that for special schools. The decrease in the youth corrections and juvenile detention education programs, the decreased need for limitation is the direct result of overall reductions in the state school fund amount, as well as OYA facility closures have the students transferring back to school districts, or as we were discussing earlier on the break outside, there are some a few of the individuals who will be transferring to adult correctional facilities.
Questions? Representative Bates.
Madam, just to make this kind of clear, I think, in everybody's mind, my memory of the situation is this. Last session, we decided that individual school districts would not be responsible for education of individuals coming out of their district and going into OYA or similar situations because it was a burden more from some districts. Together, we set up a general program for the entire state to do it. With the cutbacks at OYA, those students are now being either put back in their district schools or not going back to school or being transferred, in these cases, to an adult facility. My understanding also is the ones being transferred are over 23 years of age. I believe there's 12 cases, I was told, and they're all over age 23. They're being transferred to adult prisons. They'd be going to adult prisons ultimately anyway. the real policy concern here for me, and I'm going to vote for this, but policy concern is the what we have to do to OIA, and then this results in us getting some more money back, unfortunately, because this money would be better spent with those young people in OIA and have some possibility of turning them around. And this is a rollback of a rollback, so to speak, and that's where the money is. The $500,000 that's left in, you alluded to some of that going to special schools. Where's the other 500? What's the rest of the 500,000 going?
Chair Morgan, Representative Bates, the limitation itself, we're utilizing some of that for special schools cash. The rest just is decreased authority for us to spend. And since it's not cash, it's just limitation, it just reverts back.
Further questions or comments? So just for my own personal clarification here, what we're requesting is a decrease in the limitation of $500,000. The total decrease is $500,000.
Yes, Chair Morgan.
And is any part of that actual money, or is all of it just limitation?
For youth corrections, all of it is empty limitation.
Okay, thank you. I think that also as it not relevant to this particular discussion, but relevant to the larger discussion that we're having right now with the department, I would be interested in the department preparing some information for the committee about how many of these students are going to end up in the K-12 system, and just the kind of a position paper or a education type paper for the committee members around the issues that that presents to the local districts.
Chair Morgan, we'd be pleased to do that.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion on the Youth Corrections Education Program expenditure limitation? Chair would accept a motion to adopt the conceptual amendments for the Youth Corrections Education Program in the House Bill 5064 memo dated June 17.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Senator Gordley has made the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? The motion is carried. Let's go forward and talk about the grant and aid in the nutrition program.
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, excuse me, the department's requesting an increase in its federal funds limitation for the grant and aid nutrition program. And these are programs that are funded on a cost reimbursement basis, and it's often difficult to accurately predict the limitation that's needed because of variables such as the number of children that are served and then the rates of reimbursement from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And in fact, when the department has a work session on its grant and aid budget, you'll find that they're requesting that that program be given non-limited other funds rather than expenditure limitation because of the difficulty involved in predicting the level of limitation needed. Due to the growth in the number of meals this biennium and also changes in the rates of reimbursement, the department is projecting that they need at least $11.5 million more than 0103. They had requested an additional $20 million in limitation. However, the recommendation is that they be given $16 million additional limitation, and then the budget report would also reflect that the Department of Administrative Services be requested to unschedule $4.5 million of the limitation until it's actually needed. And so, again, on page 2, you'll see under recommended bill amendments for the Grant and Aid Nutrition Program that they're previously established limitation would be increased by $16 million with that conceptual amendment.
Ms. McGlashan, why is it a recommendation that $4.5 million be unscheduled?
Madam Chair, based on what the department has submitted thus far, I think we can safely say that they will need at least that much additional limitation. But again, because it's so difficult to predict the number of children that are going to be served and what the rates of reimbursement are, they may very well need some additional limitation. And they would be back here again asking for another round of supplemental limitations. So just to get it done once, I'm recommending that it be a higher amount. But again, asking that the Department of Administrative Services unschedule that until the department provides documentation that they actually need more than the $11.5 million.
Ms. Ames, do you have information that you could add to the discussion?
Madam Chair, I'm Linda Ames with Department of Administrative Services. Really just the same information. When we looked at what they probably would need, it's only about $12 million, but we just want to make sure they have enough. And by unscheduling it, they can't use it for not that this is a specific appropriation. They can't really use the limitation for anything else anyway. So this just makes sure they're not back here in July saying we need $200,000 more limitation.
Mr. Fazier, does the department concur with this recommendation?
Madam Chair, Dave Fazier, Department of Education, we do concur with the recommendation, and if we do need those unscheduled funds, we can request that from DAS.
Thank you. Are there other questions or comments by the committee members? Representative March.
Just a question. So are we doing 16 and unscheduling 4.5 from that for a 11.5? Or are we doing 16 plus a 4.5, and it because the recommendation doesn't speak to that?
Ms. McGlashan.
Madam Chair and members of the subcommittee, the actual change to the limitation that's in statute would be the $16 million. And then in the budget report, we wouldn't put the request to DAS for unscheduling in the statute. We do that in the budget report. It would be $4.5 million of that $16 million would be unscheduled. So initially, the department would have the $11.5 million in limitation to use. And then when they come forward with any additional documentation that shows that they need more than the $11.5, the Department of Administrative Services would make that adjustment so that they could use any or all of that additional $4.5 million. Is that clear?
Follow-up,
yes. You said that we have identified about 12 point something or other already?
Oh, Madam Chair, Representative March, it isn't really that precise. I think they're at 11.5 to 12.5, they're probably going to have enough. It really does vary fairly significantly from month to month.
Thank you.
Further questions or comments? Chair would accept a motion to adopt conceptual amendments for the Grant and Aid Nutrition Program as outlined in the memo on House Bill 5064 dated June 17th.
So moved.
Representative Smith has made the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. Let's go on and talk about the MUPO shortfall.
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, then turning to page 2 of the memo, item number 4, Medicaid upper payment limit shortfall. You might have heard that the 0103 MUPO resources are $11.3 million less than previously expected, and the allocation of the shortfall is as follows. $3.75 million of it would be to the amount that was to be transferred to the Oregon Rural Health Association by the Department of Administrative Services. And that adjustment would result in any MUPO resources to that organization being completely eliminated. And then $7.5 million of it would be allocated to the state school fund, and then the remainder, the $308,061 would be allocated to OHSU. And those allocations between the state school fund and OHSU are based on their relative levels of total state support after all the special session actions. One other thing that the recommended bill amendments do is correct an error that occurred in Special Session 5 that has to do with the Oregon Rural Health Association transfer. And what happened was instead of the correct section being amended to reflect that their resources at that time were going to be reduced from 7.5 to the 3.75 million. A previously repealed section of law was amended, and since it was a previously repealed section of law, the amendment in special session 5 was kind of moot, and the correct section of chapter law remained remained at 7.5 million when it should have been at 3.75 million for the Rural Health Association. So I'll kind of walk you through those amendments. Then for the MUPL shortfall down there at the bottom of page 2, there are two sections currently in chapter law that pertain to the 0203 MUPL resources for the state school fund. One deals with the transfer from the account to the Department of Education for the state school fund, and the second one deals with limitation given to the Department of Education to distribute those resources through the state school fund. So that first one...
Representative Bates?
Are we allowed to ask questions as we go on?
Yes.
This, the money that going from the MUPL money going into the Department of Ed before, what was that money being used for inside the Department of Ed? Was it used for Medicaid recipients? What was it being used for?
Could we have the department come forward? Mr. Fazer?
Chair Morgan, Representative Bates, for the record, Dave Fazer, Department of Education. Those funds were, those revenues are used in the state school fund for formula distribution.
MUPL money is, in my understanding, I'm well, may be wrong, is primarily to be used for the Medicaid population and has to be allocated towards the Medicaid population. Inside our education department, we do have Medicaid recipients that we spend money on.
Chair Morgan, represent.
It's a question of fungibility, really. What was that money dedicated for inside the education department?
Ms. Ames, perhaps you could add some insight into this.
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, Linda Ames with the Department of Administrative Services. I do not really understand what the original rationale was for this money to go out in the state school fund, except that, generally speaking, it was to be used for health-related expenditures in the school districts.
Ms. McGlash.
Madam Chair and members of the subcommittee, I would concur with Linda's remarks that the decision to put MUPL funds in the state school fund for distribution through the formula was made on the basis that there are health-related expenses in the schools, and the level of those expenditures was such that it was appropriate to put the level of MUPL funding in the state school fund, that there would be justification for doing that based on what schools spend on health-related expenditures.
Follow-up, Representative?
Yes, Madam Chair. I assume that some of those health-related expenditures were for low-income children who would obviously be Medicaid recipients. That was the assumption that was probably made.
Madam Chair and Representative Bates, I'm not aware of that assumption.
And when that money was transferred there was no attempt to track it or account for it inside the system?
Chair Morgan, Representative Bates, we had no such guidance or direction to do that.
It wasn't an attempt to place it in school-based health centers to help defray the cost of school nurses, transportation of Medicaid kids to special ed programs.
Chair Morgan, Representative Bates, while the money could have been used for those purposes by individual school districts, again, there was no direction to specifically do that or track the expenditure of that cash.
Madam Chair,
follow up.
Is it possible to do that?
Madam Chair, if I might interject, and Representative Bates, one of the things that was looked at the decision was being made last session to put MUPL resources into the state school fund was looking at the DBI and looking at the expenditure categories that related to health services, and that's how the level of MUPL funding was justified. It's possible, again, using the DBI, that we could track what the schools have actually spent in those categories.
Madam Chair, I want to make it perfectly clear that I think that the use of MUPL money inside the school system is absolutely appropriate. The problem is documentation. Mm-hmm. You can get yourself in serious trouble in documentation. Trust me, I know from personal experience. I would just, a word of caution here, that if it's possible, track that money and show that it's been used properly. I think it would be very wise to do that. It also brings up a point, if we replace this money with general fund money, that if you're documenting it properly, you probably could get matched for it, which we're doing, would decrease the amount we have to put in by a substantial margin. If you're getting your 60-40 Medicaid match and can track that money, I would expect you could probably show that it's being used appropriately and cut down what you have to put in from general fund money. So there would be a gain there. The difficulty of tracking that may be more trouble than it's worth. I don't know what your systems are like.
The Representative Bates, I think that you raise an excellent point. And when we do the state school fund discussion in the committee, I think that we should have one of part of that discussion revolve around the points that you've raised and the capability of the database initiative to track the health-related expenditures within the K-12 system. And I do recall when we had a hearing with the department that we did have a discussion around possible Medicaid match in, I think we did it in relation to the what was going on in Head Start, the state's Head Start program with their health care costs. And I do agree that it is an area that the department should aggressively go after. So if we could have that noted to be discussed when we discuss the state school fund, we also have a number of issues that we want to bring forward with relation to the database initiative, and I think that this would fit very well into that discussion. Is there any more discussion here on the MUPL shortfall as it relates to the state school fund?
Madam Chair, I'm sorry to beat this up. I know we're going to run out of time. The Oregon Rural Health Association MUPL is 3.75. I'll go back to the same discussion. That may be matchable also. They're losing the entire 3.75. I would not change what we're doing today, but look at that also.
But on that area, Representative Bates, that was an original $7 million MUPL investment that was made in the last session for the purpose of helping rural health concerns upgrade their equipment, I believe. And we deliberated very long and hard over the interim and the five special sessions that we had in the interim about the need to leave some money in that fund, and it is with very, very mixed emotions that I watched the last of this being taken out of and watching this program go away.
Our rural hospitals.
But again, given the need to balance our books at the end of the biennium, we are in a situation I think that none of us would be in given any choice, and the choices that we are making at this point are the ones that we've combed through, and we're now at the seventh or eighth level of our preference
in the last
here.
2 weeks.
So with that, Ms. McGlashan, can you continue discussing through these various areas that we'll be dealing with MUPL shortfall?
Madam Chair, again, the first two sections have under the MUPL shortfall on page two, that has to do with those have to do with the state school fund. So, again, the first one would reduce the transfer. The second one reduces the limitation given to the Department of Education for the state school fund. And, again, that's $7,480,856. And then if you turn to page three of the memo, the next recommended amendment has to do with the MUPL for the Oregon Health and Science University Public Corporation, and there you'll see it again at the end of that paragraph. It's decreased by $308,061, which you'll see corresponds to the amount that's in the table on page two.
Are there any questions from the committee on the reduction to the limitation for OHSU? Please continue.
And then finally, Madam Chair, the next two sections have to do with the MUPL for the Oregon Rural Health Association. And you'll see that first amendment would reduce the amount by $7.5 million, and that doesn't correspond with what's in the table. And I mentioned earlier that there had been an error that occurred in Special Session 5, and that error was that the amount to be given to the Oregon Rural Health Association was not correctly reduced to the 3.75. It remains in statute at the 7.5, so we have to eliminate 7.5 to get it down to zero. And then that last amendment repeals the transfer from DAS to the Oregon Rural Health Association, so that completely takes all of that out of the statutes related to the Oregon Rural Health Association getting any muffle.
Any discussion around the Oregon Rural Health Association reduction and the necessary adjustment to get the book straightened out? The chair would accept a motion to adopt conceptual amendments for the MUPL shortfall as outlined in the House Bill 5064 memo on June 17.
So moved.
Senator Gordley has made the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. Let's talk about MUPL deferral.
And finally, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, on item 5, the Department of Human Services has received notification from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services that they will be deferring a MUPL payment in the amount of $45,560,309 for the quarter beginning April 1st, 2003. Basically, as I understand it, CMS is questioning the methodology used by the state to calculate the payment claim, and until that's settled, this deferral will remain in effect. So there would be a supplemental appropriation of $45.6 million from the ending balance of the general fund to cover the deferral, given the amendment on page 3 under MUPL deferral. And as you can see there, it supplements the general fund appropriation made to senior and disabled services.
Questions or comments on the MUPL deferral? Senator Mezzerly.
Madam Chair, do we have any idea how long it will be before this issue is settled?
Ms. McGlash. Madam Chair and Senator Mezzerly, I don't think we do.
Mr. Rocco.
Ken Rocker, Legislative Fiscal Office. Madam Chair, Senator Messley, I believe this is still in negotiation with the federal government on the exact amount and the effect it will have on the 03-05 biennium. So it hasn't been settled yet, but there's still negotiations.
Question? Follow-up, Senator?
No, not this time.
Senator Gordley?
I had the same question. Thank you.
Representative Smith?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is there any urgency on the part of DHS to get this settled? Because I've been hearing things that, the federal government isn't getting the information that they need, and maybe the hang-up could be on our end.
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, I believe that as soon as the agency learned of this, they contacted the legislature and DAS, and they retained lawyers. Part of the problem was the lawyers that they retained were engaged in a similar case for another state, defending another state. And the outcome of it is my understanding that the outcome of that case would tend to help Oregon's situation. So that's why it's taken a little bit longer.
So, are we going to have to wait for the outcome of that other case before we take final action?
I believe that if that has been settled, and now the attorneys we've retained are working on this, and I think every week we get more information about
what was the outcome of that settlement.
I'm not sure. I'll get that for you and let you know.
Please, thank you.
Representative Bates.
Madam Chair, Mr. Rock, we discussed out in the yard. Looking at this, my first thought was that the general fund money going into DHS is probably matchable money. And I didn't think the MUPL money was magical money. If that's the case, we don't really need $45 million. We need some around $18 million. Do you have a chance to check that out?
It's true. Madam Chair, Representative Bates, yes, I did. And the fact is that the federal government has basically said that the amount that we received as match is going to be deferred. So then the general fund that would be put in is to replace that deferred match. So it would not be matchable because it's replacing a denial of match. So it would not be matchable in this case.
Yes, the question of the way, Madam Chair.
Please.
Mr. Rocco, you usually end up being right, but I have a hard time following you sometimes. What is the actual hold on DHS budget for the next 2 weeks, basically, the rest of this biennium? How much is the actual hold? Funds?
Madam Chair, Representative Bates, they have already committed and spent this $45.6 million in what they thought was federal dollars. So they've spent it already. And they need to, the general fund is to replace those dollars they've already spent. The federal government is saying that the match mechanism that was used was their deferring decision on it. So it's possible, although unlikely, that once they make a decision that we would get, you know, federal dollars back after the end of this biennium. But based on what I've understood to this point, that's unlikely.
If I might, it would be, I think, interesting, and again, it would depend on the outcome of the discussions with our federal partners on this, but if the money was replaced with MUFL money, then it would kind of be a done deal. But it would seem at that point that general fund dollars that were put in that weren't replaced, that there would be a discussion point there to go back and say that those were general fund investments and should be subject to federal match. And I don't know if you can have those discussions retroactively or they have to take place prospectively, but it would be interesting to see how that discussion came out.
Madam Chair, I'd support that statement. I would suggest that we get that information be passed on to the lawyers arguing our case. It would be important to get that match money back if we're ruled against us. If it's not ruled against us, that's a different situation. If we get the $45 million. But to give up that match money, I think, is inappropriate, and it's still general fund money going out. It should be matched. So I would appreciate if you'd pass information on.
I will certainly do that.
Thank you.
Any further discussion on the MUPL shortfall? Chair would accept a motion to adopt conceptual amendments regarding the MUPL shortfall and the MUPL deferral as outlined in the House Bill 5064 memo dated June 17th.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Representative Smith has made the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. Chair would accept a motion to move.
I'm sorry, Ms. McGlashan.
I just wanted to clarify one more thing, Madam Chair, and that is because you're dealing with a blank bill, I just wanted to get on the record that in addition to these amendments, you would be deleting lines 5 through 15 of the original bill.
Chair would accept a motion to delete lines 5 through 15 of the original unamended House Bill 5064.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Representative Smith's made the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? The motion is carried.
Now, are we ready?
Chair would accept a motion to move House Bill 5064 as conceptually amended to the Full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
So moved.
Senator Gordley's made the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing no objection, the motion is carried. I'll carry the bill on the House floor and in Full Ways and Means, and Senator Gordley has graciously consented to carry it on the Senate floor. Any other business to come before the committee? Committee members, tomorrow in this committee, we'll be having a presentation on, my mind's gone blank. The state school fund, yes. And the,
the smallest item over.
So please come tomorrow morning. It'll be a very interesting discussion around the quality education model.
I'm not even going to tell you how Freudian that is. You don't have to forget that. You want to forget that one.
And without further business or discussion before the committee, the meeting's adjourned. We'll reconvene at 8:30 tomorrow morning, if I can remember to show.
Yeah, she's hoping to.